must cause confusion and delay.
You have caused
confusion and delay.
I think you are facing prejudice.
Daisy is just the ultimate fart. Daisy is just the ultimate fart.
Your impatience has caused confusion and delay. This storm has caused confusion and delay. You are causing confusion and delay. You cause confusion and delay.
26 years old and you can't even drive? I can. Are you stupid, eh? Are you a stupid fool? Well, why can't you drive then? You can't even drive! Be great today.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to another edition of The Deepest Lore, the third in less than 24 hours. Very unusual. But as long-time followers know, when I get something in my mind and I get the bit between my teeth, when I get obsessive about something, I cannot let it go. And I've started, so now I'm determined to bloody finish the time person of the year, the correct time person of the year. Let me just get up the slides. This was inspired by Taylor Swift winning Time Person of the Year, which then led me to looking at the historical Time Person of the Year awards and wanting to correct them in two ways. One, by correcting the actual awards, and second, by noticing that Taylor Swift is actually like the only singer entertainer ever given that honor. So given that it was given to Taylor Swift, I then wanted to add a cultural award as well as the main political award for every year. We have been painstakingly going through year by year by year. As you can see, we started in 27, moving forwards. Hopefully it's been educational. There are some things that I have learned. Apparently things that everybody else knew that I didn't know. Like, for example, the fact that Australia fought the Great Emu War in 1932, I've never heard of the Great Emu War. And apparently they even lost against the emus, which I may get Chris Gard and Furious Bertinax on for a whole stream on the Emu War, because it just sounds so ridiculous and funny. So there we go. Yeah, I am like a dog with a bone. I can't let it go. I am a very, you know, when I played football, I was a tenacious defender whose job it was to man mark people out of the game with, you know, almost kind of obsessive zeal, to the point where I would frequently get into fights with the opposing striker or winger, whoever it happened to be, because they would get so frustrated by the fact that I just wouldn't let them go for the whole game. So, you know, lots of fun and games back in the day. The reason I'm doing this early is because I have a hard finish today. It's Thursday. I don't usually stream on Thursdays, friends. You know that this time of the week, I flip, right? Batman, my true identity, ceases to be. And Bruce Wayne, the mask comes on. And I have to go back and be the family man. I have to go and pick up AAA from nursery, and I cannot be late. So I've got really limited time today, but I'm determined to get to the end of the 70s at the very least, and then maybe when AAA is sleeping later on, we'll carry on, because I'm really into this. What else did I learn that I didn't know about before? I mean lots of little things along the way. For example, that David Lean's version of Oliver Twist was banned for 3 years in America due to anti-Semitism, and that there was a riot in Berlin by the Jews in Berlin over Alec Guinness's portrayal of Fagin, and that when it was finally released in America in 1951, they actually had to cut out 12 minutes of footage just to get past the censors there. I didn't know that, did you? I mean, what else did I learn? That Victor Fleming directed both Gone with the Wind and Wizard of Oz, which kind of blew my mind. So many things have we learned along the way, and partly the educational, it's fun, but it's also kind of semi-educational for all of us as well. Now, I'm generally happy with the 20s. I'm happy with the 30s. I won't go through them all. If you go to the last stream, I went through all of the 30s and 40s. Again, you know, I just read through them all. I think we've basically got the 30s and the 40s right. Maybe David Lean doesn't deserve to win it 2 years in a row for 47 and 48. Not quite happy with Orwell in 45. I think it should have been Evelyn Waugh. But we can kind of let that go. Blyton for 44 is a bit weak, but, you know, I think we can let it go. I am less happy with some of the shenanigans from chat. I think, you see, the problem is that my audience and chat and the online crowd and the online right in general has too many bloody nerds. Too many nerds, right? So you don't understand the significance of Brando. You just want Tolkien, 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 right? And it's caused problems because, for example, Marilyn Monroe should have been the Time Person of the Year in 1959, not Frank Sinatra. But through misogyny, you gain that vote. So I'm not happy with some of the way this has fallen. Bob Dylan should have had one of the 60s years and hasn't. That's a problem. He should have had 62, 63, I would say. Warhol on balance should have had 62. Monroe should have had 59, if we were doing this correctly. Kind of bugging me, and I feel like I want to fix it. I have rerun polls on Twitter, and fortunately, due to the fact that all the people on Twitter are bloody nerds as well, the same results are coming out. The same results are coming out. So it's not really overturning them. Bob Dylan probably should have won in 65 over Julie Andrews, and the Beatles should have won in 64 over Walt Disney. Also, the opening of Disneyland in 1955 probably should put Disney back in there, and we could put Tolkien at 54 and give Brando 53 or something. I don't know, but anyway, there are the tragedy of democracy is that it produces incorrect results, and we're seeing that in practice. Let us carry on then. Let us carry on. So, right. We're going to make a start. I don't have my various tabs open, so I'm going to just quickly get open Time Person of the Year, the master list. We're in 1970, and I'm also going to open the Wikipedia page for 1970. And we'll take it from there. I will need to open other things like lists of Oscars and best-selling records and things like that soon. What I like is the Rate Your Music Best Albums of 1970. Rate Your Music is a good site, and it will kind of, you know, it'll give us an approximation of what was about. I will also get up Best Director, Oscar, Academy Award for Best Director. That will give us what was going on. It was actually for 1970, the film Patton, and Franklin J. Schaffner won for Patton. Let's just get up Best Actor and Best Actress as well. There's not been that many straight up actors who've won so far. You have to do something pretty phenomenal to win as an actor, I feel. That was won by George C. Scott for Patton that year as well. And Hold on, best actor. I'm just getting up my various lists here. Best actress. And we've got my art in 1970 category paintings. 1970 in art. Here we go. Excellent. 1970 in art. That's good. And then we've got books published in 1970. Okay, so that gives us our basic kind of superstructure. However, it's all for naught because I have already decided who the cultural person of the year is for 1970, right? So let's move on. So the actual winner of, oh, and I should mention before I get going, 25% off all my courses, buy it now. Promo code VaxGlide2. I recommend picking up the Mega Bundle or the Trivium. If you want to min-max the sale. If you want to min-max the sale, don't buy the courses individually. Pick up the bundles, and that will save you the greatest amount of money. Okay. So, I will also mention, by the way, that Ray Kroc absolutely deserved his award in 65. And we also decided that astronauts, for various reasons, even though typically businessmen and scientists go in the left-hand column, the rule is that astronauts go in the right-hand column because they are cultural figures, not political figures. We decided this, okay? So this is a small kind of asterisk. Any astronauts are cultural figures. And I think it's basically true, like, you know, Neil Armstrong and Yuri Gagarin were cultural figures, right? Ultimately, it didn't matter that Gagarin was, it mattered for the space race, but in terms of like being a hero to kids and stuff, Gagarin and Armstrong were just, they were cultural icons. They weren't political characters. So I think it's fair. Okay, so let's carry on then. I know the space race was political. I'm just saying that as cultural figures. I mean, I remember as a kid being told about Gagarin and about Armstrong, right? Because it's like kids love space and, you know, it's like being into dinosaurs or something. Right? It's cultural. Come on, let's face it. It's cultural. Anyway, so let's carry on. Now, the 70s, I predict, are going to be super duper competitive on the cultural side. Because there are so many huge names on the horizon. But the actual winner of the 1970 Time Person of the Year was Willy Brandt. As Chancellor of West Germany, Brandt was acknowledged for seeking to bring about a fresh relationship between East and West through his bold approach to the Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc. In 1970, Brandt renounced German claims on Poland and recognized East Germany and acknowledged the Holocaust in Nazi-occupied Poland with the symbolic Neifel von Warschau. Now, call me old-fashioned, but that sounds like a bullshit, like an absolute bullshit winner for that year. An absolute bullshit winner. So let us see if we can find anybody stronger than Willy Brandt. Generally speaking, whenever they've given it to the Chancellor of West Germany, we have typically twisted and not stuck with that. But what else was going on in 1970? Well, Rhodesia severed its last ties with the United Kingdom and declares itself a republic. So Ian Smith in the running, I would say. Ian Smith in the running. What else? Paul McCartney announces that he has left the Beatles and releases his first solo album. China's first satellite, the Dongfang Hong 1, is launched into space using Long March 1 rocket. The World Intellectual Property Organization, WIPO, is founded. Yeah, I'm just seeing if anything is really... So Brazil defeats Italy 4-1 to win the 1970 World Cup in Mexico. And I'm just telling you now, friends, there is absolutely no other person who can possibly win the cultural person of the year for 1970. It's Pelé, right? And I'll tell you why it's Pelé. That was his third World Cup. He was involved in over half of all of the goals scored in some way in that tournament. He had scored over 1,000 goals in his career by that point. There is just absolutely no way it can be anybody but Pelé. This is a kind of, I mean, imagine Messi, like the hype around Lionel Messi. It's like that, basically. So it has to be, there's no other choice. You know, for a sportsman to transcend on that level, it's just too big. So we have to put Pelé there, regardless of who made albums or films that year. It's Pelé, okay? What else do we have? Israeli forces fight Palestinian guerrillas in southern Lebanon. The Chilean socialist senator Salvador Allende wins 36.2% of the vote in his run for presidency, defeating former right-winger George Alessandri, who had 34.9% of the votes, and Christian Democrat Radoromic Tomic with 27.8% of the votes. So Allende becomes the president. I guess he's in the run. He would be in the running, maybe. Allende. I don't know how much we want to privilege Chile, but considering what happens, I'd say Ian Smith is in the running. Allende's in the running. Vietnam War still going on. The Jordanian government and Palestinian guerrillas make repeated unsuccessful truces. The Cambodian government forces break the siege of Kompong Tho after 3 months. King Hussein of Jordan forms a military government with Mohammed Daoud as prime minister. Black September, King Hussein of Jordan orders the Jordanian armed forces to oust the Palestinian Fedayeen from Jordan. So I would say King Hussein of Jordan is on the ballot. All of these are more significant than Willy Brandt, in my opinion. General Torres becomes the new president of Bolivia. He has got phenomenal Latin America to take the chic, if you see him. Torres does. Solzhenitsyn is awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature. Now, when did Solzhenitsyn bring out Gulag Archipelago? That's 73. All right, we'll keep our eye on Solzhenitsyn because he may have to be given an award at some point. It's going to be tough, though, because the 70s are chock-a-block with huge names. So it's going to be tough for Solzhenitsyn, but he'll be on the ballot at some point. The Khmer Republic is proclaimed in Cambodia, escalating the Cambodian civil war between the Khmer Rouge and the government. So Pol Pot is on the map. We've got King Hussein. We've got Pol Pot. We've got Allende. We've got, who else? Ian Smith. It's going to be a four-way and then a runoff, I think. That ought to do it, I think. So let's make the... first of all, type in the chat, stick or twist. Do we stick with Willy Brandt or do we twist? Oh, look at this. German Chancellor Willy Brandt goes down on his knees in front of a monument to the victims of the Warsaw Ghetto, which will become known as the Warsaw Genuflection. Absolutely gross and disgusting. The Warsaw Genuflection. Fucking hell. Talk about debasement. Debased. Gross. Okay, so let's set up the poll then. The poll is, Voot, the poll is, who do we say? Pol Pot, who's still kind of in the mix. He's not like the man yet, but he's around. We've got Ian Smith. This is a big chance for him to win. We've got Allende becoming Chilean, and we've got King Hussein. I actually think King Hussein's a pretty good pick for this year, but let's carry on. So, Voot. Top two will face a runoff. Top two will face a runoff. All right, so it looks like it's going to be Ian Smith versus King Hussein. So let us now do the runoff. Runoff is Ian Smith. Ian Smith versus King Hussein. Runoff. And I'll just let people vote. And just kind of out of interest, who was around in 97? Neil Young released after the Gold Rush. George Harrison released All Things Must Pass. Curtis Mayfield was around. Bridge Over Troubled Water by Simon and Garfunkel. Plastic Ono Band, John Lennon released. Black Sabbath released Paranoid in 1970. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young released Deja Vu, which is a well-known album. Led Zeppelin 3 came out. Patton won a lot of awards at the Oscars that year. What else was going on in 1970? Bolivian artist Benjamin Mendoza tried to assassinate Pope John Paul VI in 1970, apparently. And Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye, absolute wank, came out in 1970. Judy Blume's, I mean, just a lot of crap literature in 1970. So the quality of literature has absolutely declined. I will note that Roald Dahl wrote Fantastic Mr. Fox in 1970, and we need to keep an eye on when is the right year to put Roald Dahl on the ballot. Because he really missed his chance in the 60s. He was up against too much strong competition. But Roald Dahl, we're going to try to find a year to sneak him up on the ballot. Okay. So Ian Smith has won. So Time Man of the Year is Ian Smith, which I think is very consistent. You know, he established a republic. That's consistent with Gandhi winning. It's consistent with Ben-Gurion winning. So, you know, making Rhodesia independent, I think, is fair. So let us carry on. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. You can't just win Time Person of the Year for bringing out a 5-star album or making a really good movie. It has to be something like... it has to be something with like really wide cultural significance, right? So that is why I was arguing that, for example, in you know, 62, Marilyn Monroe doing the Happy Birthday, Mr. President, and dying, of course, was hugely culturally significant, right? Dylan in 63 on the Capitol Hill was bigger than just releasing Freewheeling. We gave it to Andy Warhol in the end, but you could argue that Andy Warhol did actually massively influence the way people thought about art and all sorts of things. So, you know, there has to be something huge, you know, like Marlon Brando wasn't just an actor. He was an icon. Elvis Presley wasn't just any old rock and didn't just sell a load of records. He was an absolute sensation, right? So you know, Pelé didn't just win the World Cup. He was the best player ever, right? This is the kind of level that you need to do to win Time Person of the Year, right? So we will continue then. The actual Time Person of the Year for 1971 was Richard Nixon. It says Nixon was president of the United States from 1969 to 1974. In 1971, Nixon had withdrawn the US dollar from the gold standard, triggering the Nixon shock, created the Economic Stabilization Program, and reopened relations with communist China. Now, while we may not like these, results, I think it's going to be pretty difficult to argue against Nixon for 71, because we are still living with the consequences of what he did in 1971. Okay, impossible. I'm not even going to put up for the vote because it's just pointless. Nobody is going to be more significant than Tricky Dicky in 71. Okay. So, I mean, I'm just looking to see what else happened in 71. Ivan Koloff defeated Bruno Sammartino to win the WWF World Heavyweight Championship, ending a 7 2/3 year reign, the longest in championship history. It's said that when Koloff defeated Sammartino, you couldn't hear a pin drop in Madison Square Garden, a very famous moment in wrestling history. In Uganda, Idi Amin deposes Milton Obote in a coup and becomes president. So, I mean, Idi Amin, is he more important than Tricky Dicky? I don't think so. Not in the overall scheme of things. Apollo 14 lands on the moon and then returned to Earth. That is the third human moon landing. Incidentally, do the people who think that the moon landing was a hoax deal with Apollo 14 at all? Do they deal with that moon landing, or is it all just the 69 one? Does anyone know? I've not, like, you don't hear about the Apollo 14 one that much, do you? So, it's decimal day in the United Kingdom and Ireland. They both switched to decimal currency. Some people still lamenting that decision. What else happened in 71? The Pakistani army occupied East Pakistan. In Belfast, Led Zeppelin includes a public performance of Stairway to Heaven, a band from the... I don't know why that is so significant, but... the fight of the century. Boxer Joe Frazier defeats Muhammad Ali in a 15-round unanimous decision at Madison Square Garden. That happens in 71. Now, Muhammad Ali, do we put him on the ballot for cultural icon in 71? Ali got, a lot of people were saying on Twitter that Ali got stiff in the 60s. He was banned from boxing for taking a stand against the Vietnam War for 5 years in his prime. He came back in one of the most watched fights in boxing history. Even though he lost it to Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali has to be on the ballot for 71, I would say. What else goes on? Starbucks coffee shop is founded in the US state of Washington. Didn't know Starbucks was that old, did you? Set 1971. The United Kingdom lifts all restrictions on gold ownership. Palestinians retreat from Amman to the north of Jordan. Lots of things going on. Lots of things. Franz Jonas is elected president of Austria. Israeli ambassador to Turkey, Efran Elrom, is kidnapped and found killed in Istanbul on the 25th of May. Bangladesh is declared by a government in exile in territory formerly part of Pakistan. So Bangladesh becomes country in 1971. Richard Nixon declares the US war on drugs. So the war on drugs started in 1971. Jim Morrison, the lead singer of The Doors, dies of heart failure. He was aged just 27. He was in the bathtub of his apartment on the third floor of the Rue Beatrelis Hotel in Paris. Libya severs diplomatic ties with Morocco. American President Richard Nixon announces he will visit China in 1972. JCPenney debuts its trademark Helvetica wordmark, which has been used ever since. Jackie Stewart becomes Formula One World Drivers Champion. I mean, lots of things going on here. Walt Disney World opens in Florida. Unfortunately, Walt Disney is dead, so he cannot win it. Ian Paisley founds the Democratic Unionist Party. So Ian Paisley is on the map. You know, he's a possible future winner, maybe, one day. Iranian forces occupy the Persian Gulf islands of Abu Musa, and the greater and lesser Tunes are taken by force. The Cambodian Civil War, Khmer Rouge rebels intensify assaults on the Cambodian government. So the first McDonald's in Australia opens. And yes, lots and lots of things. So I don't think anybody's going to beat Tricky Dicky, but who else goes on the ballot with Muhammad Ali, I would say, right? Who goes on the ballot with Muhammad Ali? Let's have a look. So 1971 in music. We've got Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, Led Zepp. Led Zeppelin released Led Zeppelin 4. David Bowie released Hunky Dory. A little bit early for Dave, but he's on the map, right? Rolling Stones released Sticky Fingers. Paul McCartney releases Ram, banger of an album. Okay, so are any of those worthy of Time Person of the Year? Or should it just go straight to Ali, do we think? In film, William Friedkin directed The French Connection. More importantly, Stanley Kubrick directed A Clockwork Orange. And Gene Hackman starred as Popeye Doyle in The French Connection. It was pretty cool. So, do we put Kubrick on the ballot for 1971? Kubrick. When did John Lennon's... I don't think Imagine came out until 71, did it? Did Imagine come out in 70 or 71? I'll have a look. Hold on. Imagine. I think it's 71. Yeah, it's from a 71 album. Oh yeah, but this is 1971. Oh shit. Okay, so we're gonna have to put Ali, Lennon, Kubrick, and in art, David Hockney's still around, but I don't think he's strong enough. And in literature, none of those are worthy at all. Gene Hackman, was he big enough really to go on the ballot? Not really. I think we're going to have to go for I mean, we did put Kubrick winning in 68. Look, Kubrick did win in 68. All right, it's going to have to be Muhammad Ali, right? I'm just going to start the poll. Voot. It's going to be Ali. It's going to be Kubrick. It's going to be... What else did we say? Oh, John Lennon. Okay, it's going to be three-way, and then there's going to be a runoff. Let's see how this goes. I mean, as much as you hate Imagine, I mean, we're still living with the consequences of Imagine today, so you can't say it wasn't big. It was. Now, I would say William Friedkin may have another shot when The Exorcist comes out in a couple of years, in 73. Friedkin, you know. Oh, shit, it's looking really close. We need more people need to vote because I need to have more distance between the... More people need to vote, people. Right, I'm ending the poll. Right, it's going to be a straight-up runoff between Kubrick and Lennon. Muhammad Ali has been beaten out. Don't worry, Ali will have one more chance for the Thriller in Manila, whenever that, or the Rumble in the Jungle. Whenever the Rumble in the Jungle was, Ali will get his final chance. So runoff is Kubrick versus Lennon. And remember, this is for Clockwork Orange, basically, versus Imagine. And I'll just let that... What do you mean, what was the question? Who should win Time Person of the Year for 1971, Sid? What was the question? Looks like John Lennon is winning. All right, Lennon has won this. Oh, Gordon Bennett, John Lennon wins Time Person of the Year for 1971. So the actual Time Person of the Year for 1972 was Richard Nixon yet again, but he held it jointly with Henry Kissinger. I will just read what it says. As President of the United States, Nixon visited China in 1972 as the first president to do so. Nixon later secured the SALT I Pact with the Soviet Union before being reelected in one of the largest landslide election victories in American history. And if you check out that 72 map, it is fucking mental. Henry Kissinger, who they gave it to as well, was Nixon's national security advisor. He traveled with the president to China in 72 and was negotiating peace in the Vietnam War. So the real question is, do we give it to Nixon on his own again? Do we give it to Henry Kissinger on his own? Do we stick with what they did and give it jointly? I'm not happy with the joint, to be honest. I think it should just be one or the other. I'm leaning towards just giving it to Nixon again. I will just see what else was going on in 72 while we deliberate this. Margrethe the Second of Denmark becomes the queen, succeeding her father, Frederick the Ninth. Ali Bhutto becomes president of Pakistan. Okay. In Bloody Sunday, the British Army kills 14 unarmed nationalist civil rights marchers in Derry, Northern Ireland. Okay. I mean, Nixon visiting Mao, basically, in China. There's just no... And winning the landslide. There's just no... It's Nixon again, isn't it? Right, so I'm going to run a poll just saying Nixon alone, Kissinger alone, or joint. Vote. I think it should be Nixon alone, personally, but I don't like the idea of the duo, and if the chat votes for joint, I might just overrule them anyway, but we'll see. I mean, just the fact that Nixon won that map, the election alone should win it for Nixon. Let alone the China stuff and all the other things he did. And the signing of the SALT I treaty with Brezhnev. I mean, all these things are absolutely huge. Iraq nationalized its petroleum that year. The Watergate scandal happened. I mean, it's Nixon. It's basically Nixon. It can't be anyone else. It's Nixon. Yeah, I agree. So, Tricky Dicky becomes the first two-time, well, he's won it 2 years in a row, and that's the first time that's happened since Hitler, I think. Yeah, Hitler got it 33-34, and so he's on quite a run here, Nixon. Now, in terms of the second Cod War started. In terms of the cultural front, there's quite a lot that goes on in 1972, friends. Okay. For one, David Bowie released The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. So Bowie starts getting very big in 72. But also, the big movie of that year was The Godfather, featuring Marlon Brando in one of his most famous roles ever, and he won the best Oscar that year for it. So I would say both Francis Ford Coppola and Marlon Brando would be in contention. Lots going on in 72. And in terms of books written that year, we've got, I mean, I think this is basically, oh, and in 1972, yeah, I don't see any really very, very big books that year. So I think it's basically... Al Pacino and not Al Pacino in 72, Alex, right? Al Pacino maybe in 73 when he was in Serpico, or 74 when he was in Godfather Part 2. 72 is a bit early for Pacino, right? People are saying Bobby Fischer. I mean, what? Let me just pull up Bobby Fischer. Bobby Fischer, I mean, are you really suggesting that Bobby Fischer had as big a cultural impact as The Godfather or Ziggy Stardust? Are we really saying this? What did Bobby Fischer do in 1972? Why is Bobby Fischer... Bobby Fischer, you think Bobby Fischer had a bigger impact than David Bowie and The Godfather? Okay. Okay. All right, well, we'll put Bobby Fischer on them. We'll put Bobby Fischer on. And people are, what now, Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee is probably someone who deserves to be on the ballot. But the question is, okay, so he was in Fist of Fury and The Way of the Dragon in 1972. Those are two pretty big movies. Enter the Dragon in 73. Okay. I would agree that Bruce Lee was a very big star in 1972. And that Fist of Fury and Way of the Dragon. Okay. Yeah, but, you know, Bobby Fischer naming them is not as big as... I mean, it wouldn't... Bobby Fischer would not be Time Person of the Year for naming them. He'd be Time Person of the Year for putting chess on the map and making and popularizing chess, okay? I mean, that definitely had an impact, right? I've got an uncle who was, you know, a kid at this time, and like martial arts and chess were everywhere in the 70s. Also, like, I don't know, if you look at the Wu-Tang Clan, say, it's martial arts movies and chess, right? Because they were kids at this time. So it's definitely true that Fischer made chess cool. I'm trying to have a look at when the right... Honestly, I think 72 is the right year for Bruce Lee. The other question is, for Godfather, is it Brando or is it Francis Ford Coppola? I think Brando again. So let's just make the poll. Vote. We've got David Bowie, who had, I mean, this is one of several chances he'll have. Marlon Brando. This will be the last chance Marlon Brando has. This is the Godfather version of Marlon Brando, not the early, like the 50s version of Marlon Brando. We've got Bobby Fischer and we've got Bruce Lee. I actually think the competition is super strong there. Super strong competition. I mean, the thing is with Bowie, it's not just how big he was, but how many people he influenced, you know, basically like two generations of music artists basically became, if you look at the 80s, they were all just basically Bowie tribute acts. But I mean, he didn't just influence glam. He then influenced the New Romantics as well, you know, but, let's have a look how people are going. You see, this is the problem with having too many nerds in the audience, because the idea that Bobby Fischer is bigger than Brando, Bowie, and Bruce Lee is fucking mental and retarded. But anyway, let's carry on. I mean, Bobby Fischer was big, though. He was big. He did successfully put chess on the map and possibly got a generation of kids into chess, at the very least, in America, right? Okay, so it's going to be Bobby Fischer versus Bruce Lee, which is an absolutely ridiculous travesty of a result. But anyway, this is the stupidity of democracy for you. So let's have the runoff. It's going to be Bobby Fischer versus Bruce Lee. Incidentally, if Time did give out Time Person of the Year, I don't, for culture, I don't think they would have given it to Bowie in 72 because he was too risque. They would have given it to probably Bruce Lee, I'd imagine. Chess nerds need their heads in the toilet. I mean, you know, the thing is that Bobby Fischer is like almost like the Pele of chess, but then it's like, is chess as big as football? You know, there's so too many nerds here. Too many nerds. All right, Bruce Lee is one. Bruce Lee is one. I think that looks kind of right because, you know, it was a massive cultural phenomenon. Massive cultural phenomenon. So, there we go. This is just democracy. All right, let's carry on. So the 1973 winner of Time Person of the Year, the actual one, was John Scalia. In 1973, as Chief Judge of the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, Scalia ordered President Nixon to turn over Watergate-related recordings of the White House conversations. So this was the judge who ordered Watergate to be released. I mean, this is, people are still freaking out about the 1972 result, but I would argue that within the context of 1972, right, and I'm just trying to be objective and fair, that Bruce Lee was more mainstream than David Bowie or Bobby Fischer. The Godfather was huge, by the way, and you can still find that Godfather poster in basically any shop. But Brando's had his day in the 50s, right? So, you know, there's a question of how big was Marlon Brando in 1972. The big thing with that is that when Brando won his Oscar, he refused it and sent a bunch of Native Americans to pick up the Oscar in his place out of, like, activism or whatever. So that happened, but Brando had, like, a reboost to his profile and career in 72 and was a big star again. But Bruce Lee was genuinely quite a phenomenon in a way that Bowie and Ziggy Stardust was a bit more underground at that point. Bowie would become a huge superstar later, but he was just a bit too risque in 72 to be like that mainstream, if that makes any sense. So that is my view. I think the Bobby Fischer fanboys are possibly overestimating the importance of Bobby Fischer or Chess in the cultural zeitgeist, but there we go. I mean, Lee put martial arts on the map and made a generation of kids get into martial arts movies, which, you know, arguably is a unique achievement, okay? So let's carry on. So yeah, do we stick or twist with John Scalia as this judge who ordered the Watergate, or do we twist? To me, that seems like weak. So let's have a look to see what else was going on. Richard Nixon was sworn in for a second term, the only person to have been sworn in twice as president and as vice president. Pretty historic. I mean, this could be a hat trick for Nixon, because it seems like Nixon would be the obvious choice, not this fucking judge that they picked. Libyan Arabs, Air Flight 114 is shot down by Israeli fighter aircraft over the Sinai Desert. Republic of Ireland general election is held. Liam Cosgrove becomes the new leader. At the 45th Academy Awards, The Godfather wins the Best Picture. The World Trade Center opens in New York City, where it would stand until 2001. The Sears Tower becomes the world's largest, tallest building in Chicago. What else happened in 73? The Greek military junta abolishes the monarchy and proclaims a republic. Leonard Brezhnev addresses the American people on television, the first Soviet leader to do so. Now, folks, Khrushchev won it twice. Stalin won it three times, according to us. Brezhnev, he hasn't had a look in so far. So is Brezhnev a contender for 73 Man of the Year. There's a coup d'etat in Uruguay. President Borderbury dissolves parliament and a 12-year civic military dictatorship begins. The Bahamas gains independence within the Commonwealth. What else happened? Chile's democratically elected government is overthrown in a violent military coup after serious political instability. President Allende allegedly commits suicide during the coup in the presidential palace, and General Augusto Pinochet heads a US-backed military junta that governs Chile for the next 17 years. Yeah, that'll do it. I'm not even going to put it up for the vote. That'll do it. I mean, come on. There's just absolutely no way there's anybody else. Just for his cape alone. Billie Jean King beats Bobby Riggs in a singles tennis match billed as the Battle of the Sexes. The Yom Kippur War starts. The fourth and largest Arab-Israeli conflict begins as Egyptian and Syrian forces attack the Israeli forces in the Sinai Peninsula and Golan Heights on Yom Kippur. And the Yom Kippur War then ends on the 25th of October 1973. You know, very short conflict. Pan Am flight cargo 160 crashes at Logan International Airport, killing three people. I mean, it's Pinochet. Let's face it, it's Pinochet. There's just no way, right? Pinochet. And we will have a look at what was going on in film that year. The Sting was the best director. The Exorcist came out. So I would say William Friedkin should be on the ballot, right? Ingmar Bergman brought out Cries and Whispers that year. Al Pacino was in Serpico. It's not quite strong enough yet, I would say. I mean, The Exorcist was a major deal. The Exorcist, I would say, kind of like brought back horror in a massive way during that time. My mother told me that she watched The Exorcist when it came out in the cinema and slept, wouldn't sleep alone in her bed for the next 6 weeks or something. She spent 2 months sleeping, you know, she wouldn't sleep alone after she saw The Exorcist. So I would say William Friedkin for directing The Exorcist needs to be on it. In terms of books, there is one very significant book that was published, and that is The Gulag Archipelago by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. So I would say Solzhenitsyn has a claim to be Time Man of the Year for culture in 1973. So I'm going to put Solzhenitsyn on the ballot. Who else? I mean, there's so much going on at this time. Pink Floyd released Dark Side of the Moon in 1973. Is that big enough to go toe-to-toe with The Exorcist, or is Pink Floyd big enough to go toe-to-toe with the others? I don't think so. Led Zepp released Houses of the Holy. Don't think these acts are quite kind of... David Bowie released Aladdin Sane. Not really... not really as big as Ziggy, that one. No, I think it's a straight runoff, basically, between Solzhenitsyn and... Solzhenitsyn for the incredible importance of bringing the world's attention to the gulags, which I don't think can be overestimated, what a big moment that was. And William Friedkin for not only for The Exorcist, but for basically having a year in which he released The French Connection and The Exorcist, you know, within the space of like 18 months or whatever. But also The Exorcist as a cultural phenomenon in itself. So I'm going to say vote. I think it's a straight up race between Friedkin and Solzhenitsyn for 73. I don't see, the thing is that Dark Side is the best selling album of all time, but it's like, what, like when did Pink Floyd start like selling out stadiums and things like that? It wasn't until a little bit later. So you have to hold your horses. What sport, Marcos? What sport in 73? Okay, I think it's Solzhenitsyn. And I think that's probably right that Solzhenitsyn should win it that year. I think that's probably right, isn't it? It's just too, like Gulag Archipelago is too important as a kind of cultural moment, and even as a political moment for him not to win. So bad year for the commie, 73. Pinochet in Chile, Solzhenitsyn drops the bombshell. So bad year for the commies. So 1974, the actual Time Man of the Year was King Faisal of Saudi Arabia. He was acknowledged in the wake of the oil crisis of 73-74, caused by Saudi Arabia withdrawing its oil from world markets in protest at Western support for Israel during the Yom Kippur War. He died the following year, by the way. So that's who they gave it to, King Faisal. But let's have a look what else went on in 74. So we had the hung parliament in the British election after Jeremy Thorpe led the Liberal Party to its biggest vote. We had... what else happened? Edward Heath resigned and was succeeded by Harold Wilson, who had previously been the Prime Minister from 64 to 70. This is a very confusing period where it's just Wilson, Heath all the time. Carrie, the debut novel of Stephen King, is published. Oh, do we put Stephen King on the ballot? Not in 74. I feel that Stephen King, though, is a contender for winning it one year, even though I hate the guy. I absolutely hate him. Swedish pop group ABBA enters its song Waterloo into the 1974 Eurovision Song Contest. So ABBA in 74. They were big, you know. ABBA were big. 74 World Cup begins. Helmut Schmidt becomes the new Chancellor of West Germany. The troubles in Northern Ireland are continuing. Various bombings in Dublin and Ulster and so on are carried out. 33 civilians killed. 300 wounded, the highest number of casualties in any single event during the troubles. Isabel Perón becomes the first female president of Argentina, replacing Juan Perón, who died two days later. Gerald Ford is sworn in as a president after Nixon resigns. Haile Selassie in Ethiopia is deposed by the Derg, bringing an end to the Solomonic dynasty's rule since 1270, since 1270, friends, that monarchy had been around. So the Derg, military junta, and you can learn all about them in my video on Ethiopia if you're interested. So they came to power, seems quite significant. The Japanese Red Army members seized the French embassy in The Hague. Lots of things. Paris summit reuniting the European community's heads of state commences. All right, so the real question is, does King Faisal... and the other thing that happened in 1974 was the rumble in the jungle, Muhammad Ali versus George Foreman. This would make it Muhammad Ali's last possible chance to win, I would say, because after 74, I think he starts getting the shakes. So the question is, do we stick or twist with King Faisal of Saudi Arabia? Stick or twist? Yeah, a lot of sticks. I think he's a pretty strong pick, actually. Faisal is a strong pick. So let's go with him. Faisal, Saudi Arabia, wins. Okay, so on the cultural front, we have, in terms, in the world of music, ABBA were mentioned. Neil Young released On the Beach. What other albums were out that year? Frank Zappa was around. Stevie Wonder, Supertramp. None of these are big enough, really. Not big enough. No, none of these are big enough, in my view. Francis Ford Coppola won Best Director for The Godfather Part II, defeating Roman Polanski for Chinatown, Truffaut for Day for Night, and various others. So Francis Ford Coppola, I would say, possibly in the picture. Al Pacino had a big year in 74 as the star of Godfather Part II. And you got to remember, it's like the cumulative effect, right? The cumulative effect of, you know, he had had, from 72 to 74, Godfather, Serpico, Godfather Part II, and then in 75, he's in Dog Day Afternoon, right? So if Pacino's ever going to win this, it will have to be in the next 2 years. So maybe Pacino goes on the ballot, maybe. We will say books published in 1974. Carrie by Stephen King. Do we put Stephen King on the ballot? I feel like he maybe should go on the ballot, because he's a very significant writer, you know. Very significant. I think Francis Ford Coppola goes on the ballot. I think Muhammad Ali goes on the ballot. Possibly, Stephen King, Ali. Don't think ABBA were big enough in 74. ABBA, I would say, if I had to just look at when they would be really worthy, when did ABBA have their like year of absolute domination? Because ABBA were absolutely huge in the 70s. Waterloo in 74, ABBA in 75. Let me just have a look at their discography a minute. I'm just trying to work out when they were really at their peak of the powers. Okay, so you see, like, Waterloo only came 145th in the US charts in 74, right? But by the time you get to Arrival in 76 and ABBA the Album in 71 and Voulez-Vous and Super Trooper in 80, so late 70s, they're just like number one in every single country, multi-platinum albums. So I reckon ABBA have to wait. 76, 77 for ABBA, I'm saying, would be their time. ABBA, 76, 77. So who do we say is going on the ballot? I think Francis Ford Coppola, who had had a string of amazing films with The Conversation and The Godfather, and he just won Best Director. I think Al Pacino as the star of that film, and he'd just come off the back of Serpico and Godfather 1. He could possibly be on the ballot in 75 as well. I think Stephen King, who became a thing, had a best-selling novel of Carrie, and Stephen King can come back on the ballot, but he's in the conversation. Muhammad Ali, final chance to win for Ali. Let's vote! Ali is winning this. Ali is winning this for the Rumble in the Jungle. Ali is winning this for the Rumble in the Jungle. It's straight up Ali versus Coppola. Let's end the poll because Pacino and King are nowhere. So it's going to be Coppola. Coppola versus Ali in the runoff. Runoff. What was that song by the Fugees? Rumble in the Jungle. Do you remember that? How did it go, that song? One of their more obscure songs, to be honest, by the Fugees. How did it go? Swatch, watch who I am, the Black Abraham, Zinga, Zinga, Zang, Yellow Man, Vietnam. That's how it went. All right, Ali is one. Ali is one. And I think it's fair. I think it's like we snubbed him in the 60s, and you know, we're recognizing him as a cultural phenomena who is important and around. So I think these are all like very fair picks here. It looks right, doesn't it? You know, Bruce Lee and Ali feels right. Okay. So let's carry on then with 1975 and the Time Person of the Year. Oh my God. The Time Person of the Year in 1975 was American Women, highlighting the successes of the American feminist movement and the status of everyday, usually anonymous women who moved into the mainstream jobs, ideas, and policy making. And the cover and piece spotlights the following women, and then it's a bunch of disgusting feminists. Billie Jean King was also included. So there we go. As was Betty Ford, Gerald Ford's wife. So we're throwing that straight out. Twist. Frest. Right, Frest. You're in the chat saying stick. Explain yourself. Frest. Why are you sticking with that? Disgust. Absolutely gross. Gross. Frest, you need to explain yourself. Okay, so what actually happened in 1975 and who should get it instead of American Women? They're so horror. Time is such a wank publication, it really is. So what else have we got? We've got Margaret Thatcher defeats Edward Heath for the leadership of the UK Conservative Party, right? Is Thatcher becoming the leader of the Tories in 75 big enough to get her on the ballot is the question. Thatcher in 75. Thatcher has entered the building, okay? We've got the National Liberation Front of Angola approaches the South African embassy in London and requests 40 to 50 military pieces to assist their war in the Angolan civil war. King Faisal of Saudi Arabia is shot and killed by his nephew. Tragic, absolutely tragic. Bill Gates and Paul Allen found Microsoft in Albuquerque. Now, Again, it's like Thatcher. Bill Gates founding Microsoft in 75. Does this put him on the ballot, or do we wait for Gates? Do we wait for Gates? Too early? It's too early for Gates, too early for Thatcher. They're lurking. They're lurking, okay? The Kami Republic surrenders, and the communist Khmer Rouge guerrilla forces capture Phnom Penh, ending the Cambodian Civil War with mass execution of American troops and Cambodian civilians. The Khmer Rouge begins a forcible mass evacuation of the city and starts a genocide. So the Khmer Rouge have victory in Cambodia. The Vietnam War ends with the fall of Saigon as communist forces from North Vietnam take Saigon. It's like 73, terrible year for commies. 75, commies, we're so back. We're in commie world, we're so back in 75, right? 73 for the commies, it's over. 75, we're so back. Because they basically won the Vietnam War and they've taken over Cambodia. But then the Khmer Rouge starts raiding several Vietnamese towns, leading to the Cambodian-Vietnamese War. It's so over again. It's over again. So it's an emotional roller coaster if you're a commie in 1975. The Suez Canal opens for the first time since the Six-Day War. Prime Minister Indira Gandhi declares a state of emergency in India, suspending civil liberties and elections. What was that about, I wonder? That's interesting. Why did Indira Gandhi do that? What else happened? The Viking program, Viking 1, is launched by NASA, a planetary probe towards Mars, inspiring a young Elon Musk, I'm sure. The thriller in Manila sees Muhammad Ali defeating Joe Frazier in a boxing match in Manila, the Philippines. The fight is viewed by over 100 million people worldwide. However, we gave it to Ali in 74, so he's not having it in 75, I'm afraid. He got it for the Rumble in the Jungle. So we'll you know, Thriller in Manila is the sequel. Juan Carlos in Spain becomes acting head of state until after General Francisco Franco concedes that he is too ill to govern. His death, F's in the chat for Franco, F's in the chat for Franco. His death on November the 20th effectively marks the end of his dictatorship following the Spanish Civil War. The Racial Discrimination Act 1975 takes effect in Australia. Boo. Juan Carlos is declared King of Spain following the death of Franco. He would reign until his abdication in 2014. The name Microsoft for microcomputer software is used by Bill Gates in a letter to Paul Allen for the first time. The Lao Communist Party takes over and defeats the Kingdom of Lao. So the commies are really doing quite well in 75 in the overall scheme of things. Right. So, oh, and six people, including Carlos the Jackal, kidnap delegates of an OPEC conference in Vienna. Is Carlos the Jackal worthy of Time Man of the Year? So, the first question, right, so we're obviously not going to have American women, right? I think that our choices are Margaret Thatcher, Bill Gates, Carlos the Jackal, and Pol Pot. I mean, is Pol Pot, like, officially in charge of the Khmer Rouge yet, or is he still shadowy behind the scenes? It's Pol Pot, right? Okay, so let us now vote. So we've got Pol Pot, Margaret Thatcher, Bill Gates, and Carlos the Jackal. Those are our choices. Okay, Pol Pot is winning with such a huge, huge, such a huge majority that I wonder if we just give it to Pol Pot right now. Okay, it's Pol Pot. I'm not even going to have a runoff because he was just, if you're winning with over 70%, it's you, right? So Pol Pot wins 75. Now, there's a lot of big movies and big albums and things out in 1975, as well as other things that are happening in the world of arts, because Pink Floyd release Wish You Were Here, Bob Dylan released Blood on the Tracks in a massive comeback for Bob Dylan, Led Zepp released Physical Graffiti, and Patti Smith released Horses. Now, I don't think Patti Smith was ever big enough to be in contention. Bob Dylan was robbed in the 60s, so this is a chance for him, I would say, maybe. In the movies, Stanley Kubrick released Barry Lyndon, Sidney Lumet released Dog Day Afternoon, and Milos Forman won Best Director for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Okay. Obviously, Al Pacino was the star of Dog Day Afternoon, but Best Actor was won that year by Jack Nicholson, right? So I wonder, Jack Nicholson, is he in contention? Because Jack Nicholson, by 1975, had been in a string of hits, right? His filmography, up until this point, right? He was in Easy Rider, 69. He was in Chinatown in 74. And he was in One Flew in 75, among other movies. Is Chinatown and One Flew back to back on par with Godfather, Serpico, Dog Day Afternoon, back to back, Godfather 2. One Flew was a huge movie, you know. It was a big movie. Just looking at what else is going on. I think this will maybe Bob Dylan's last feasible chance. Stephen King released Salem's Lot, published Salem's Lot. Michel Foucault wrote the book Discipline and Punish. I'm not putting Michel Foucault on the ballot. Roald Dahl wrote Danny the Champion of the World. It's not one of his bigger ones. No, I don't think any of the writers get on for that year. What else was going on? Still too early for ABBA, in my view. Star Wars is around the corner. Rocky is around the corner. I am not happy with putting Jaws. I am not putting Jaws on the... Do not like Steven Spielberg. Okay. There's a lot of big figures around here. 75. Right, we're putting Spielberg. It's going to have to be, I'm afraid, because of fucking Jaws. There's so much going on here. Uh, Bob Dylan. It has to be, but I mean, Bob Dylan, this is his last. Bob Dylan did have a massive tour in 76 as well. But let's just have a poll. Voot, I think the poll has to be between Bob Dylan, who's still yet to win it, don't forget. Somehow he went through the 60s and got screwed by the chat. Steven Spielberg. Boo. Ugh. Spielberg. I think Jack Nicholson, who at this point was truly a cultural icon in his own right. And honestly, I think Al Pacino, if he's ever going to win, has to be 75. Maybe Al Pacino for 83 as Scarface may have a look in as well. But this is the penultimate chance for Pacino. Probably last chance for Dylan. Spielberg, and then Jack Nicholson. So let's give it a go. We're going to have a runoff as well, by the way, between whoever's top two. Yeah, I mean, Nicholson is a big player within Hollywood. Nicholson will have other chances. He's got 80 for Shining. He's got arguably Joker, arguably. There was a movie called The Witches of Eastwick where, I mean, Nicholson will come back. I don't think that okay. So it's going to be Bob Dylan versus Jack Nicholson. So we're going to have a runoff. And it's going to be Bob Dylan for Blood on the Tracks versus Jack Nicholson for One Flew and coming off the back of Chinatown as well. Is it Dylan? Is it Nicholson? Dylan for his comeback in the 70s. It's not fixed. It's not fixed. If it was fixed, I would have put Dylan in 63. And 65. Instead, Julie Andrews amazingly won in 65, showing it's not fixed. So, all right, let's end this. There we go. We did give Broadway West End some consideration, Danielson, when we nominated Tennessee Williams for Streetcar Named Desire at one point. But Bob Dylan gets Time Man of the Year in 75. So 76, the actual Time Man of the Year was Jimmy Carter for being elected president of the United States, defeating incumbent president Gerald Ford. Now, it's always super easy and safe to just give it to whoever wins the election, okay? But what else happened in 76? The Pol Pot regime proclaims a new constitution in Democratic Kampuchea. Olympic Games took place. Cuba's constitution is enacted. Former Tower of Power vocalist Rick Stevens is arrested for a botched drug deal. Bradford Bishop allegedly murders five members of his family in Bethesda, Maryland. The crime goes undiscovered for 10 days and the suspect is never caught. From 2014 to 2018, he is on the FBI Most Wanted Fugitives list. And to this day, friends, Bradford Bishop is at large, is he? Yeah, they never caught him. FBI, ladies and gentlemen. So, after 8 years on NBC, The Wizard of Oz returns to CBS, where it will remain until 1999, setting what is likely a record at that time for the most telecasts of a Hollywood film on a commercial television network. The record is broken by the Ten Commandments in 1996, which began its annual network telecast on ABC in 1973, continuing to be telecast by that network as of 2020. Harold Wilson resigns as Prime Minister. The American boxer Reuben Carter is retired in New Jersey for murder. His conviction is upheld on this occasion, but is overturned in 1985. And he is the, speaking of Bob Dylan, he is the subject of Hurricane, in my opinion, Bob Dylan's worst song. And I don't know who, I still don't know who put up Dylan to writing that song, because it was very out of character of him at that time. But there we go. Apple Computer Company is formed by Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak in California. Steve Jobs is on the map, friends, in 1976. Still a bit early, but he's there. Gates and Jobs are lurking, and at some point, they're going to win. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when, okay? Jobs on the map. Pol Pot still taking names in Cambodia. James Callaghan becomes the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. We get the Tiananmen incident. Large crowds lay wreaths at Beijing's Monument of Martyrs to commemorate the death of Premier Zhou Enlai. Poems against the Gang of Four are also displayed, provoking a police crackdown. Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak launched the first Apple computer, the Apple One, for the US hobbyist market. Is that big enough? Is Apple One? It's not. It's Apple Two, isn't it? It's Apple Two. Even I know that. And I'm not even a kind of Apple gaylord, but it's Apple Two is the big one. I have a friend, by the way, who has a PhD in physics, who has an entire room dedicated to, like, he's got one whole room in his house dedicated to just every single Apple computer since the Apple One all the way through. He's got them all. It's quite an incredible shrine he's got in there. I might next time I go over there, I must kind of explore that a bit more, because I've never really looked in detail. But physics PhDs are nerds, okay? I've got another physics PhD friend, and I was like, what have you been last time I was at his house, he was like, oh, I have to show you this. What's that? I've managed to program a game using Sinclair Spectrum Basic. Look, I've got this little animation I've made. And he programmed like a little thing on his on a kind of Sinclair emulator. So then, I mean, physics people are nerds. It's very difficult for me to talk to them, though, because they just say humanity is dismissed. They won't listen to anything I have to say, because they're proper STEM people. Jethro Tull released the album Too Old to Rock and Roll, Too Young to Die. Not big enough. Gerald Ford signs the Federal Election Campaign Act. The Atari video game Breakout is released. It was designed by Steve Wozniak. Do you think that Steve Wozniak, right, for his involvement in the release of Apple One and for designing Breakout, should be on the ballot? I feel like Wozniak should be on the ballot, guys, for Breakout. You know, that's one of the original Atari games, and for Apple One. That's pretty big, you know. Gerald Ford defeats challenger Ronald Reagan in 3 presidential primaries. Terrible mistake by the Republicans. What else happens? North Vietnam dissolves. The Provisional Government of South Vietnam unites the two countries. What a massive L for America that was. pathetic. The Israeli airborne commandos free 103 hostages being held by Palestinian hijackers of an Air France plane at Uganda's Entebbe airport. Yoni Netanyahu and several Ugandan officers were killed in the raid. Was Yoni Netanyahu any relation to Benjamin then, or is it just a coincidence? Yeah, he is Benjamin Netanyahu's brother. I didn't know that. So there we go. Benjamin Netanyahu's brother was killed in the raid. That's probably one reason why Netanyahu's such a fucking psychopath, by the way. You know, if you lost your... If you had lost your brother in a incident like that, maybe you'd be as insane as Netanyahu is now, because he's just driven by emotion a lot of the time, I think. David Steele becomes the leader of the UK's Liberal Party. Also one of the all-time best spitting image puppets. Family Feud debuts on ABC. Jimmy Carter, nominated by the DNC to be their candidate, wins the election, as we know. Caitlyn Jenner wins the... Not Caitlyn Jenner, was it? Bruce Jenner wins the gold medal in the men's decathlon at the 1976 Summer Olympics. Is Bruce Jenner big enough? Is Bruce Jenner big enough to be Time Person of the Year? Is winning the decathlon at the gold medals, you know, at the Olympics, big enough? Yes or no? Was Bruce Jenner big enough in 76 to be on the ballot is the question. Viking 2 enters an orbit around Mars. In Uganda, the army captures Marcelo Gelman and his pregnant wife. Gelman is later killed and his wife disappears. Jacques Chirac resigns as Prime Minister of France. He is succeeded by Raymond Barre. The Muppet Show is broadcast in the United Kingdom for the first time on ITV. Is Jim Henson Time Person of the Year worthy? Jim Henson, maybe. Jim Henson. American singer Stevie Wonder releases his hit album Songs in the Key of Life. Don't think Wonder is big enough. Microsoft is officially registered with the Office of the Secretary of State of New Mexico. And the Sex Pistols achieve public notoriety as they unleash four-letter words on Bill Grundy's early evening television show. Are the Sex Pistols big enough to be Time Person of the Year? The Sex Pistols. I think Steve Wozniak, the Sex Pistols, ABBA. So far. Anyone else? Jim Henson. Okay, I think we've got a big thing. Jim Henson, ABBA, Wozniak, and Sex Pistols, right? But what else was going on? In terms of the actual Time Person of the Year, do we stick or twist with Jimmy Carter? Stick or twist Jimmy Carter? Hold on, wait. Wait, I just didn't look at the movies. The movies, guys. Rocky. Oh, holy shit. Sly Stallone. Also in 76, Robert De Niro starred as Travis Bickle in Taxi Driver. Network came out in 76. It's a good movie, yeah. It's a good movie, yeah. Are we twisting or sticking? Are we twisting or sticking with So if we hold on a second though, if we twist with Carter, are we putting in instead? I didn't see anyone else. We can't give it to Netanyahu's brother for dying. I mean, that's not. Who else is kind of worthy? I think it has to be Jimmy Carter, doesn't it? Unless we make Steve Wozniak the Time Person of the Year. I'll tell you what. Wozniak would be on the left by our rules. So vote for Steve Wozniak or Jimmy Carter. That is our vote. Wozniak or Carter? Wozniak is a left. Yeah, but don't forget, it's not the Apple, it's not just for Apple One. Wozniak designed Breakout for the Atari, launching video games as a viable home market thing. Wozniak is one, guys. No, because you see, Jobs will get the Apple recognition, but Wozniak is getting his recognition for his role in Breakout as well, you see. Okay. So Steve Wozniak wins Time Person of the Year for 76. That means that we have... Right, this is a big one. We've got Boot, we've got ABBA, we've got Sliced Alone for Rocky. We've got, what else did we say? Not Richard Dawkins. What books came out in 77? Hold on a minute. 76, sorry. Well, we've got the Sex Pistols. We've got the Sex Pistols. And we've got, for punk, basically, that is representing punk in general. Is the Sex Pistols. Oh, I hate to say this, but what about Alex Haley? Alex Haley for Roots. What about Alex Haley's Roots? Nah, Jim Henson. Jim Henson for the Muppets. Jim Henson. Let's go for that. Vingle is still seething about Bobby Fischer losing to Bruce Lee. You're still seething, Vingle. We got through the entire early 70s without listing David Bowie. And we got through the entire 60s without listing Bob Dylan, although that has been partly rectified. So, you know. Okay, it's looking like a ABBA versus Jim Henson final. Sly has lost. It is ABBA versus Jim Henson. Furious Pertinax is going to be seething. Runoff. It's going to be ABBA versus Jim Henson. ABBA were absolutely massive in 1976, Ali, right? They were absolutely huge. Jim Henson, of course. The Muppets were huge as well, so. And ABBA have won as well. So ABBA have won the 1976 Time Person of the Year. 1977. We're gonna have to finish, by the way, at the 70s because I have to go and pick up AAA soon. The 1977 Time Person of the Year was Sadat, Anwar Sadat, the president of Egypt, traveled to Israel in 1977, the first Arab leader to do so, to discuss the normalization of Egypt-Israel relations. Do you know what? I think this is weak. I think it's weak and pathetic. It's not strong. That is not a strong Time Person of the Year for 77. So what else happened? that year. Australia suffered its worst railway disaster at Granville. 83 people died. Carter was sworn in as president. And we could give it to Carter this year, you know. Queen Elizabeth VII opened the Parliament of New Zealand. Space Shuttle Enterprise was tested. Prime Minister Indira Gandhi withdraws the state of emergency, which was implemented in 1975. Red Rum wins the third Grand National at Aintree. Can we give Time Person of the Year to a horse? Is Red Rum legendary enough as a racehorse to win Time Person of the Year, do we think? The Lucid Party, led by Mechanim Begin, wins the national elections in Israel. Seems quite significant to me. The first Apple II series computers go on sale. That means Steve Jobs is on the ballot, friends. Steve Jobs is on the ballot for 77. Mohammed Zia-ul Haq overthrows Ali Bhutto to become Prime Minister of Pakistan. The Libyan-Egyptian War, sparked by a Libyan raid on Salem, begins. That basically means Gaddafi is back in the picture. Could Gaddafi be on the docket? The purged Chinese communist leader Deng Zhipao is restored to power 6 months after the Gang of Four was expelled from power in a coup d'etat. Could Deng be on the ballot, friends? I will say, by the way, that Deng wins next year. So it's like, do we give it to Deng now, or do we give it to Deng in 78? He's going to win it one way or the other. But so Deng. The Soviet Bureau orders Boris Yeltsin to abolish the Ipatiev Party, where Tsar Nicholas II of Russia and his family were shot in 1918. Yeltsin refers to this as a barbarian act. Jimmy Carter signs legislation creating the United States Department of Energy. The Golden Dragon Massacre takes place in San Francisco. Three members of the rock band Leonard Skinner die in a chartered plane crash outside Gillsburg in Mississippi, 3 days after the release of their fifth studio album, Street Survivors. The British punk band The Sex Pistols release Nevermind the Bollocks, Here's the Sex Pistols. Despite refusal by major retailers in the UK to stock it, it enters the UK album charts at number one a week after its release. Egyptian President Anwar Sadat becomes the first Arab leader to make an official visit to Israel. Right. San Francisco elects city supervisor Harvey Milk, the first openly gay elected official of any large city in the United States. Harvey Milk, people. All right, so do we stick or twist with Sadat? Stick or twist on Sadat? Okay, I think on the ballot we have vote. We're going to have vote. I think I'll decide that we're going to keep Deng for next year. 78 is Deng, without a doubt. So we're going to have Steve Jobs. We're going to have Jimmy Carter, simply just for being the president. We're going to have Gaddafi for starting a war, mad lad. And we're going to have who else was there? What else happened that year? When did Idi Amin kick out the Indians? When did Amin, Ugandan Indian expulsion? Well, that happened in 72, so it happened already. So it's not Amin. Okay, it's just going to have to be those three, I think. Jobs, Carter, Gaddafi. There's not going to be a vote for the cultural side. Just spoilers, everyone. It's going to be between Gaddafi and Jobs, I think. Gaddafi winning. All right, let's end the poll and just do straight up Gaddafi for starting a war. And Jobs for Apple II. So it's going to be Jobs versus Gaddafi in the runoff. Let's do this. Yes, Niccolo, the chat is full of nerds. What else can I do, you know? I'll just say, by the way, that there is no other possible winner for 77, apart from George Lucas, Star Wars. I mean, it's just an absolute curb stomp. There's just no point in putting up for the vote. It's Lucas. I mean, there's just no possibility of it being anyone else. Gaddafi has beaten Jobs, overpowering the nerds. So he becomes a two-time winner because he also won in 69. Gaddafi making his mark on the Time Person of the Year. Don't worry, Steve Jobs will have other chances to win when he releases the iPad and the iPhone and, you know. So 78 then, the actual Time Person of the Year was Deng Xiaoping. And I am just calling an audible, friends. That is the correct Time Person of the Year. I will just read what they wrote. Deng, as the vice premier, overthrew Hu Guofeng to assume de facto control over China in 1978 as paramount leader. And of course, everybody knows that Deng was a stone cold genius. A stone cold genius, okay? And he completely transformed the fortunes of China after that point. So he has to go in as an actual. I don't care if it's pronounced Deng. I'm not Chinese. I'm pronouncing it Deng. So fuck all of you, kind of China simps. I say Deng. D-E-N-G says Deng. It doesn't say Deng. If they want people to say Deng, they need to translate it with a U. So bugger off. It's Deng. What else? What else happened in 1978? So we have, in terms of albums out that year, we have Kraftwerk were around. Die Menschmaschine, not big enough. Bruce Springsteen was around, not big enough. Talking Heads, more songs about buildings of food. Kate Bush released the Kick Inside, that was quite a big album. Kate Bush was quite big, you know. Wuthering Heights was on that. Wuthering Heights was a massive hit in 1978. Elvis Costello was around. Blondie, they had a big hit in 78. I wonder if Kate Bush may be on the ballot for Wuthering Heights. Or is she just not big enough? do we think? Is she not big enough? That's the question. In movies, The Deer Hunter, Michael Cimino won Best Director for Deer Hunter. Robert De Niro was in The Deer. I mean, Robert De Niro is Bill. I mean, he's already been in Taxi Driver. Now he's in Deer Hunter. Raging Bull is around the corner. I reckon Robert De Niro is building his case. He's building his case. Not quite there yet. Here's a question. Ingrid Bergman was nominated for Autumn Sonata in 1978. Ingrid Bergman has been around. Did we give it to Bergman? Did we? Oh, we did give it to her in 43. Okay, fair enough. We don't need to correct any wrongs. What else? Books that came out in 78. The Stand by Stephen King. Night Shift by Stephen King. Bukowski, Ian McEwan. Edward Said wrote Orientalism, apparently. Not any kind of like obviously huge do we put Robert De Niro on the ballot in 78? When did Grease come out? That's a good point. John Travolta, that was huge. When did Grease come out? 78. John Travolta, does he go on the ballot? Travolta, De Niro. De Niro will have another chance in 80, I think. Travolta, De Niro. Are you saying Superman came out in 78? Yeah, but Superman, I mean... okay. Christopher Reeves, though, come on. It's going to be Travolta, De Niro, Kate Bush, and Blondie. Blondie weren't that big, though. They're not big enough. Kate Bush was big, but I'm not sure if Blondie were big enough. You can't put in Brando for his 5-minute appearance into, you can't put in Brando for his 5-minute appearance in Superman. Come on. Travolta's going in. De Niro's going in. Kate Bush is going in, I think. I'm just going to have a look at record sales for Kate Bush versus Blondie a minute. Kate Bush, how many records did she sell for Wuthering Heights? Let me just have a look at. The thing is that Kate Bush has become retroactively huge as well. But that album, The Kick Inside, is certified platinum in every single country. Didn't chart in America. Kate Bush basically didn't have a presence in America until Hounds of Love in 85. So Bush is in with a shout for 85 as well. 78 was her breakthrough year. I just have a look at how many records that sold. It was Wuthering Heights sold. Okay. Let me just now have a look at Blondie. Because really, it's that American market that you need. And Bush didn't have it in 78. Blondie in 78. Sorry, List of best-selling albums ever. Here we go. I'm just going to go through this. Do you know what? The Bee Gees. If we're going to put Travolta on there, we have to put the Bee Gees on there, don't we? Because they had Saturday Night Fever in 77. That sold 22.1 million records. Bee Gees. Bee Gees. And then looking at... claimed sales of Saturday Night Fever by the Bee Gees, 40 million. 22.1 certified. Interesting. I think the Bee Gees have to go on the ballot. The Grease soundtrack, by the way, also sold 28 million records. Grease was big. John Travolta coming off Saturday Night Fever and then in 1979, the Bee Gees again sold another 40 million copies of Saturday Night Fever in 79. Has to be the Bee Gees. Right, we're putting on... I think De Niro is premature, but we're going to put him on. We're going to put De Niro. Because he's been in Taxi Driver and Deer Hunter by this point. Two iconic roles. We're going to put in Travolta, who I think is a very, very strong shout for 78. We're going to put in Bee Gees. And we're going to put in... We're going to put in... Bush. It's too early for Kate Bush. Kate Bush is 85, I think. 85. The question is Blondie. The question was Blondie, right? How big were Blondie compared to the Bee Gees? Because the Bee Gees are curb stomping in sales. They're one of the best-selling acts ever. Easy to forget about how massive the Bee Gees were. And they invented disco as well. Blondie in 78. Now, Parallel Lines and Eat to the Beat were both US number one records. Okay. All right. Blondie were big. Blondie were very big. Hanging on the Telephone was a big hit. Arguably, their follow-up album was even bigger. When did Heart of Glass come out, though? When was Heart of Glass? That's my question. Let me have a look. Just having a look at their singles. Heart of Glass was 79. Sunday Girl was 7. I think Blondie is 79. All right, let's stick Blondie in. They were big at this time, very big. So I'm going to put in Blondie. And let's vote. Heart of Glass was a massive hit. And still play. But that was 79. So we could have a repeat of Bee Gees versus Blondie in 79. I honestly think Travolta is a very strong pick for 78. Very strong pick. And it's looking like it's gonna be Travolta versus the Bee Gees, right? Yeah, it's Travolta versus the, and that seems very correct to me that it's Travolta. Now don't forget, Travolta was in Saturday Night Fever and he was in Grease. Grease and Saturday Night Fever were the two biggest selling records of the year. Massive, right? Bee Gees obviously wrote the soundtrack to Saturday Night Fever. They didn't write the soundtrack to Grease, just to be clear. Okay, so let's do the runoff. It's Travolta. I feel like I might just give it to Travolta by fiat here, but anyway, let's see how it goes. Yeah, John Travolta did not invent disco, and the Bee Gees did. But the Bee Gees will be back in the running for 79, because technically speaking, a lot of their sales were in 79 and not 78. And Saturday Night Fever came out in 77. But if you think of the calendar year, it's really like, a lot of the time, it's like if you've had one good year and then you follow it up with another smash hit, like Travolta has done. Yes, Travolta. Correct result. John Travolta is the Time Man of the Year for that. And he really does define that era as well. So this is the last one we're going to do. And 79, the actual Time Man of the Year was, of course, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, for leading the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran and establishing himself as supreme leader, and arguably not written here, doing in Jimmy Carter. I'm just going to call it now. There is not going to be, I mean, the only person who even comes close to that is Thatcher for winning, but Thatcher in 79, it's not as big as Khomeini. Thatcher will have another chance in 73. Khomeini is the winner. It's just not even close for that year. And let us, I mean, it's just, it has to be Khomeini, because he changed. It's not just changing like history in your own country, it's changing world history. And I think Khomeini is overall more significant than Thatcher in to world history. Thatcher will win again. Don't worry. He's going to have a chance. Okay. Oh, she is going to have a chance with her massive iron balls coming up soon. Now the question is, culture. What was going on in 1979 in the world of music? Now, we have already talked about, I mean, The Clash had London Calling that year. Fear of Music by Talking Heads came out. Joy Division, Pink Floyd released The Wall. Pink Floyd, if they're ever going to be put on there, maybe this is the year. But Michael Jackson released Off the Wall. It's not Thriller, but it was a big album. Blondie had a smash hit with Heart of Glass, which we just talked about. The Bee Gees sold literally a gazillion records that year. I'm just typing in now. Best-selling albums of all time. I'm pretty sure Saturday Night Fever is still there. I mean, I'm looking now, right? The best-selling album of all time is Thriller by Michael Jackson. AC/DC, Back in Black, 1980. Saturday Night Fever is on the list. Right, it's on the list. But they then come back on the list for doing it again when it was re-released in 1979. Right, now, in terms of sales, Pink Floyd have the fourth best-selling album of all time with Dark Side of the Moon. Pink Floyd also are on the list with The Wall. That sold 19 million copies. Actually, more copies of The Wall were sold than Sgt. Pepper. Can you believe that? The Wall outsold Sgt. Pepper. Wow, I didn't know that. Wow, okay. I think if Pink Floyd are ever going to be on the ballot, it has to be this year, really. I think it has to be this year. Now, let's see where Blondie appear on this list. Where did Blondie appear on the list? See, Blondie were big. They were a big singles act, but Parallel Lines didn't sell that many albums. Heart of Glass was big this year. What books came out in 79? Another Stephen King novel, Long Walk, Dead Zone. Jeffrey Archer is in town now, churning them out. I don't think the... In art, not a lot to write home about there. In movies, the big movie of that year, there were several big movies. Francis Ford Coppola released Apocalypse Now. Brando in that is not Time Person of the Year worthy, but Apocalypse Now. Kramer versus Kramer was the big Oscar-winning movie of that year. So Dustin Hoffman, I suppose. And does Francis Ford Coppola get back on the ballot? All right, I think that we run. I'm going to run it. Run off. So, we're going to have Pink Floyd. We're going to have the Bee Gees. We're going to have Blondie. And honestly, I think probably we get Francis Ford Coppola as his last chance to win. Because Coppola, you know, both Godfathers, The Conversation, and Apocalypse Now. I mean, it's pretty good. Pretty good. Let's vote. Marlon Brando is not for Apocalypse Now. If he didn't win it for Godfather, he's not going to win it for Apocalypse Now. Looks like it's going to be Pink Floyd versus Francis Ford Coppola. Okay, so I'm going to say runoff. This is the final vote of this stream. And it's going to be Francis Ford Coppola versus Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd. There we go. Go. And I will just edit the stream to reflect the fact that we're finishing in 1979. I may be back later on. I may be back tomorrow. We'll see. But this, I'm going to have to go to pick up AAA. Pink Floyd have won. So Pink Floyd win for arguably their worst album. but it's commemorating their decade, really. Just like, I mean, this is the weird thing about these things is that sometimes it's not at the moment of their greatest thing. It's like later where you recognize what they've done in a way. So, all right, that's 1970. I will just double check to see if there's any super chats before I get out of here. For 1000 Kess says, who are the people of the entire 20th century? For me, it's Stalin for political and Disney for cultural. I think there's a case for Stalin Disney. I think there's a case for Hitler Disney. I think there's you could make other cases too, though. I mean, Beatles probably in the conversation. arguably, I mean, we haven't got to Michael Jackson yet. People forget how enormous Michael Jackson was. We haven't got to Jacko yet. You know, there are arguments you can make for the person of the century. We know that Time gave their person of the century to Albert Einstein, which obviously we're going to twist on that, I feel. The Devastator says, I have my questions prep, AA. Quick reminder, I will be handing out gift subs as well. Chat will need to put their thinking cap on. All of you need to prepare yourself for a devastating Christmas. Devastating Christmas. Okay, so he is going to do that soon, which I'm looking forward to. Nothing on Entropy, so let's get out of here. Thank you very much. I'll be back for the 80s at some point. I just don't know when, so look out for it. Click that notifications thing, because I don't know exactly when it's going to be, and I'll see you all soon. Now get out.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.